Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
This
is an Entel Studios production.
Yeah. We're in good shape. We're recording in a slightly different way this week. So, ladies and gentlemen, how is everybody? Are you all right? You can't answer that question. Well, you can, but you just won't be able to hear it. I'm asking really because the person sat next to me is not all right.
I haven't been.
You haven't been all right.
No.
First of all, let's apologise to everybody for last week.
It was weird.
We had one very tiny window in order to do this podcast, which was on Thursday morning, and we were going to do it over the Zooms because we weren't together at all really last week. We were both working on different things. And then Wednesday night, you called me and you said, I'm going on a dog walk. And I was like, yay, he's on a dog walk. The dog's going to love that. And then I was in the middle of something and then you rang me and you said, I've fallen over. An ambulance is coming.
Oh, I don't even... Did I call you from the woods?
Yeah, you said I've fallen over. Ambulance is coming.
I have.
Really?
I have zero recollection of that.
Oh, wow. So you might have gone into some kind of shock.
I was definitely not of sane mind.
So
I frightened myself.
Explain to the people what happened.
So just to clarify, I fell over. Mm-hmm. I did not have a fall.
Okay. There's a difference, right?
There's a big difference.
You reach a certain time in your life where you have a fall.
Yeah, but I did not.
That's not you.
I was athletically doing something and I fell over.
Yeah.
So I was walking Beau in the woods.
Yeah.
And you know the very steep, earthy steps that go down in the woods that aren't really stairs?
Yeah, they're like railway sleepers with mud on them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they're kind of a bit topsy-turvy and there's some holes in them. And it was so weird. You know the corner where I have to explain to Beau that we're not doing the mega walk?
Yes.
We're going to do a slightly shorter version. Because I'd done the mega walk in the morning, but she always slightly guilt trips me. I'd had a conversation with her. Yeah. She'd had a little treat. Mm-hmm. I said, come on, Beau.
Let's do the short one.
I'm in my trainers and my workout gear. And I look at the steps, and you know when you walk down one step at a time, sometimes it hurts one knee.
Yeah, yeah.
And I thought, I'll try the other leg. And then I thought, I wonder if I run down one step, one foot on one step, the other foot on the next step down.
Yeah.
It's like leaping downstairs.
Yes, classic.
Which is, in retrospect, quite a stupid thing to do. It's
in the wet.
With
trainers on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I run. I halfway down the stairs in the middle of an ever-darkening forest with no one around. Mm-hmm. I trip and my ankle rolls outwards.
Ooh.
My foot goes under and I feel across the top of my foot a succession of maybe five across the top of my foot. And I thought, I've broken it. That's it. I've broken it. And I sit down and I howl like, oh!
Really?
Like I'm howling, like
in the woods.
Oh God, like that, so loud.
Yeah.
And not to anybody, not thinking anybody was going to hear me. I just couldn't not make a very loud noise, and then I just started, like, I went into, okay, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do? And then in between, I'm going, oh my God! I mean, it is the worst pain I've ever felt.
Yeah.
And I'm frightened as well, right, at this point. And I'm playing it over. Why did I do that? Why did I do that? And then I thought, okay, can I walk? And I just thought, there is no way on earth I can walk.
Yeah.
So I thought, how do I get out of the deep, dark wood where nobody is? Like,
and you're roughly a kilometre from home, I would say.
And I've got 7% battery.
Oh, I mean, that's crucial.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I called the ambulance. The ambulance lady was really nice.
Was she?
I called 999. I don't think I've ever
called 999.
Done that.
Yeah. On purpose. By accident.
When I was a kid. Right. But I called 999, and she was amazing. She kind of just got me to touch bits of my ankle.
Oh, did she?
And she was like, are you breathing? Are you conscious? Yeah. Yes, I'm conscious. Are you breathing? She said, where are you? I was like, I've got no idea. Don't know the name of the wood.
Oh, yeah. Don't know the
name of the road I'm on. Mm. I could tell her that I was near a pub. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was had no idea where I was.
Yeah.
And she said, tell me the three words I'm about to text you.
Oh, okay.
I was like, what? She went, I'm texting you now. Tell me the three words I'm texting you. Mm-hmm. So I get the words and I say them, and I've got no idea what she's doing. And at this point, I am in deep shock. Mm-hmm. And apparently it's so that she knows my exact location via three words.
Oh, what? So she texts you the words, you read them back to her. She then knows that you
exactly
are with that phone.
Exactly where I am.
And she can triangulate
at.
Where you are.
And no, I think it's the three words. Tell her exactly where I am in the country.
What are the three words?
No, but it's different for every area.
Oh. But what were the three words?
I can't remember.
Oh, really?
Hang on.
Oh, my God. I've got to text these to people and find out where everybody is.
I wonder what it would... Wednesday,
yeah.
Wednesday. I wonder if it's self...
Deleting. The ambulance service is trying to locate you. Click this link.
I clicked the link and it's gone by now. I don't want to do it now because...
No, you don't want to click the link. Yeah,
But it would probably tell us where we are now in three words.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's quite brilliant, isn't it?
It is so brilliant.
So did the ambulance come?
No, so basically, she then said...
There's nothing wrong with love.
Can you, weight bear? And I said, I don't think so. And she said, okay. And then I put my foot down and I thought, oh... I think I can weight bear. I mean, it was the most excruciating feeling. Mm-hmm. But I thought, I can. My ankle isn't giving out.
Yeah,
is it pointing in any weird directions?
Yeah.
Does it look deformed in any way? I was like, no.
Not yet.
And then I put my foot down. And I thought, oh, I can. So I crawled up a few steps. But that was so painful. My foot was kept getting hit and everything. So I gingerly kind of put my weight on the foot. And... I sort of hobbled upstairs. By the way, Bo, my dog, you know, she's quite annoying when you stop walking. She just starts barking because she wants to go for a walk. Nothing.
She knew there was something wrong with you.
So quiet. Because I'm crying the whole time.
Aww.
Right? I'm crying, screaming, oh, like making giving birth noises the whole time. Like, trying to walk back through the woods because I didn't come out at the beacon.
Yeah.
I went back through the woods to try and meet the person that I was going to meet because I said to the ambulance, stand down because they were going to be hours because they've got actual emergencies. And at that point, I wasn't an actual emergency because I could walk.
Yes.
I had to drop off Bo. Christine, my friend, came and saved me, took me back to the house, dropped off Bo, took me over the speed humps to the hospital. I hopped.
Yeah.
On one leg into the hospital, and they then found me some crutches, and then I got x-rayed, and...
So they think that you might have broken a bone in your foot, but they're not quite sure.
No, they think it might have been chipped or fractured, not broken.
So when you go to hospital, the fracture and broke is the same thing.
They said you might have a tiny hairline fracture.
Okay.
Nothing that needs...
Yes, a plaster cast or anything like that.
Which I am so grateful for.
Yeah, yeah. But it's quite a big swollen foot you've got, isn't it?
Yes. And also, it's still so painful a week on. And I've had to work every single day. So the next morning, I was no good to anyone.
Mm. Reminds
and I couldn't record the podcast.
The day after I had a vasectomy, I had to go to work for the day.
With me?
Not with you, no. I went to film for the one show for the whole day after the day after I'd had a vasectomy.
Oh, my God.
And I was walking like John Wayne towards the end of the day. And we finished filming at about 6 o'clock. And I remember I was in Angel Islington and I thought, I really want a cup of tea and then I want to get in my car and go home. So I bought a cup of tea from Pret, and as I came out from Pret, someone walked straight into me.
Poured it all down onto your bollocks.
So, yeah, no, it was just hot tea all over me. Yes, and onto my testes and all that stuff.
Oh, no.
But I didn't have the ability, the agility to move out of the way, because I was so delicate. You know, I got covered in hot tea.
Oh, no.
But yeah, your foot, you know, it was quite big.
I'll tell you what it's done.
It reminded me of the Honey Monster. It made me want to eat sugar puffs, and I'd seen it.
It made me sad for a bit.
Yes.
So I was quite... and just trying to kind of soldier on and pretend to everybody that I felt good, but I didn't.
I broke my ankle and I cried. I was very sad. Mm. And then I realised it was just round about the time the internet was in everybody's house. It wasn't broadband, it was dial-up. And I was looking for a forum on people with broken legs to see if they felt a bit like me, because I was so down in the dumps about it. So I do fully understand that sadness when you've injured yourself. It's weird,
and also because, like, all I wanted was to get looked after.
There was no one to look after.
No.
Sorry, I
missed you.
Yeah, well, I missed looking after you. But
I know you did.
It meant that we couldn't do the podcast last week, ladies and gents. It was the only opportunity to do it, but it was impossible at that point.
Yeah, we couldn't do it. I have worn, just got to say this, on The Masked Singer, which is quite funny, I've worn these unbelievably exotic dresses.
Yeah.
With trainers and boots. Underneath the desk.
When The Masked Singer comes out, we're going to have to do a compilation of you in these dresses and your trainer boots and all sorts of funny shoes you've been wearing to hobble your way.
It's really funny.
Just so people are watching this thing on this big shiny floor show on ITV. They'll know under the desk.
They'll know under the desk.
It's nothing but comfort. So there's a little update from Davina McCall. Update from me is that my gran died last week.
Oh.
And I thought I'd let you all know, because we talked about my gran on this podcast a few times, and I've talked about her on my Instagram a few times. And
I think the last time we did this podcast, we talked about your gran, and we said she's not going anywhere.
Yeah, and a week later, she died. Went. Yeah.
Please, will you tell everybody how specific she was about how she wanted to die?
Yeah, so she was 94, my gran, and she was lovely, completely with all her marbles and all her faculties.
I mean,
and all
the most
incredible,
with it woman
really.
In her 90s fantastic. I have ever met.
And I have a big smile on my face when I think about it, because she was just brilliant. And I mean, I'll really, really miss her. But she said to my mum, she said, "I don't want to die in bed. I want to die in the kitchen or in the conservatory." Now, the conservatory was a greenhouse in the garden, by the way. It wasn't a conservatory at all.
It
just had a
best
chair in
space
it.
Ever. And she was really like, "Have you shown in the conservatory?"
Yeah. She used to sit in there in the sun, you know, and really enjoy
it. Explain quickly why there was an umbrella over her chair in the conservatory.
Yeah, because there was a piece of glass missing from the greenhouse and rain poured in and wet her chair. So she had an umbrella perched on the chair.
I thought it was for the sun. It was so funny. She went, "Oh no, there's a leak."
It was great, but she said she wanted to die in the kitchen. She loved being in the kitchen, my gran. She had five kids and she cooked non-stop and loved being a mum and loved being a gran. So I think she said she wanted to die in the kitchen. You'll be pleased to know, ladies and gentlemen, she died in the kitchen.
But you think...
Yes, I think that she took herself to the kitchen.
Yeah, because her electric blanket was on.
Yeah, she'd made herself ready for bed, and then for whatever reason, she died in the kitchen. She hadn't fallen over or broken anything. It didn't look like there'd been any kind of struggle.
It looked like she'd laid down.
Looked like she'd perhaps gone there and decided, okay, I think I might die, I'll lie down, and passed away. One thing you don't know, which I don't think I've told you, is that her cat was curled up with her when my mum eventually went round. Yeah, I know, isn't that funny? They were just curled up next to her, and then when my mum went round, the cat left my gran and then went and got into her bed. And I know, that's very sweet, isn't it?
Oh, that's really sweet.
But when we left my gran last week, she made us some shortbread. I know.
So sorry.
It's the best tasted shortbread I've ever eaten.
I can't believe I'm sugar free.
Yeah, I know, it is a shame. So it's coconut shortbread, but she puts cornflakes in the shortbread. I've never known that before. But it's so good. I can't believe it. So,
but wasn't that really special? Because I think we'd slightly forgotten about the shortbread.
We came to the flat here.
And you came to the flat and opened a cupboard and there it was. And you found it after she died. That you hadn't eaten it all before she died. It was something that, like,
Yes.
At the risk of sounding slightly cannibalistic, it was like eating a little piece of her.
Of her,
you know?
Yes, I know, I know.
It's horrible, even when somebody's old, when they go, but what are the chances that you would have seen her after all of this last
year? Yeah, so I hadn't seen her for 3 years, and I saw her twice this year.
That's a miracle,
and then
right?
We saw her 10 days before she died. Mm. So, yeah, it was great. It was great to see her, is what I mean. Mm. And anyway, there you go. It's been an up and down couple of weeks since we last spoke to you all. We've been very busy, haven't we? We've been working on The Masked Singer.
I think that's quite difficult in a way, because we've both been through something and we've been too busy to acknowledge.
Or to grieve or mourn, even if it's your sore leg. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Anyway. Stuff. But anyway, we've been looking forward to doing this podcast. One, because we always feel it's a bit like therapy for me. Mm. We actually get to spend an hour chatting together about nothing but ourselves.
And really looking at each other.
Yeah. And that's nice, isn't it? Mm. So, first thing I want to talk about is there's a new series of Curb Enthusiasm.
Oh, yeah. Yes. So, as a Curb Enthusiast,
yes,
is it good?
It's very, very good. So, season 10, which was the last season that came out, was a bit hit and miss. It was a bit kind of creepy because Larry and Jeff and Richard Lewis, they're all so old.
Yeah.
Yet they're always dating quite young women.
Girls, yeah.
It's all a bit Woody Allen, you know. Something a bit creepy about it. I remember my mate Jeff said, I'm not sure I'm very comfortable with just them dating these young girls all the time. I mean, when I say young, like they're 40 or 50-year-old women, but these guys are in their 70s. Mm. It just seems a little bit kind of strange, you know. So anyway, it seems to have moved on a little bit from that. But episode one is Larry is dating Lucy Liu, the actress.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, you know, from Charlie's Angels, I think. So he's dating her. But there's a scene where he's at a house and he accidentally walks into the patio door. You know, like a door looks like a thing. And he walks into it and she sees him do this. And she goes, oh, are you okay? And he's like, yeah, of course I'm okay. But he's like, a bloody glass door. Like, how's anyone supposed to see this? Anyway, Lucy Liu can't see him now as anything other than a man, an old man who's incapable of going through a door.
He had a fall,
basically, yes. And he's like, oh, God. So he tries to convince her. He's like, there's nothing wrong with me. And like when she meets him at another party the following day, she said, shall I get you a chair? Would you like to sit down? He's like, no, I don't need a chair. I'm fine. What are you on about? You know. Anyway, Leon, his friend, the black guy he lives with, Leon Black, he's called. He's got a young girlfriend, but she then walks into the plate glass door, but he just can't fancy her anymore. You know.
Oh, no.
It's like, oh. And he said, the door. And he's like, yeah, she's a goner. You know? But it really reminded me of you saying, I didn't have a fall. Because there's something about seeing somebody have a fall and you think, oh, I can't see them as anything other than the type of person who would have a fall. Anyway, it's on Now TV or Sky.
They're really short, right?
Yeah, they're actually about 36 minutes an episode.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I don't know what it is about these shows. I don't think they have breaks in them or ad breaks in them, perhaps in America. I don't know, but they come in at a slightly odd length compared to a British sitcom. They're dropping them every Monday night at about 9 p.m. and there's 3 episodes so far. If you're missing Dave, it's produced by the same producer that produces Dave.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, a guy called Jeff Schaefer. So there's very, very similar.
What does a producer do? Like, how would this guy, if he's doing Dave and Curb, how would he influence?
It's a very good question, really. I mean, a producer, I guess, organises all the different parts that would make the show. So the DOP, for instance.
And the writers.
Yeah. Larry David, I guess, writes it, but I guess he would bring in the art department and various location managers.
Do you think Larry David
does
all the writing?
Well, it's not written. I don't know if you know that.
But tell everybody, because I think that's really interesting.
Yeah, yeah. So Larry David essentially writes a scene, and the scene will say something like, Larry and Leon in a room discussing Meg Ryan. The scene ends with, Larry leaving and Leon being upset. And that's the extent of the writing. And he doesn't show that to the actors until they're in the scene. And then he says, this is what's going to happen. And then they just play out the scene however the actor thinks they should at that moment. So it's totally improvised. And you can see that sometimes, because you can see the scene meandering around and then not really going anywhere, and then it ends. And sometimes you think, don't really get that scene. But what you do get in other scenes is absolute spontaneous gold that feels great, feels natural, and is really, really funny.
Awkward stuff. And his unpolitically correct stuff is so toe-curlingly embarrassing. And interestingly, I feel like I'm in a much better place to enjoy Curb now I'm older than I was when I was in my 40s. It's funny that.
Yeah. And each episode's a bit like a piece of observational comedy. So one of the episodes is there's a dinner party for eight. You've got three chairs on both sides and two at the heads of the table, right?
Yes.
These two people dominate the two middle chairs, which is the centre of the dinner party, right? But they're not socialising people. They're not extroverts or anything. The dinner party's the worst. And Larry goes in, he says, how come those two are in the middle? They're not middle people. They're end people. They should not be in the middle. So they go back into the room and they rejig the table and he puts himself in the middle and he says, this is how you'd play the middle of a dinner party. You know, this whole thing. And that's exactly what you want from a dinner party. You need somebody in the middle of the dinner party orchestrating all the chat. So,
but that situation comedy, that's just taking a very normal situation that nobody would kind of understand why that is, why that dinner party is wrong. But then now suddenly everybody's like, oh, you're the middle person.
You're the middle, yeah. You're a middle person.
I'm a middle person. So are you?
Yeah, yeah. Maybe. I think I would be with you, but I'm not necessarily a middle. It depends what I'm sat across. Yeah, yeah.
Are you kidding me? You are like the you're more middle than me.
Okay, well, we have to make sure when we have a dinner party, we're middle. We're middle people. So anyway, that's my first recommendation.
We've got a round dining table.
We've got a kind of pill-shaped table.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
How posh are we?
Yeah.
We've got two
dining tables. but please go and watch it. It's my favourite show, and there's 11 seasons of it to go through, and it's a work of art. For those of you who don't know, Larry David co-produced, co-created Seinfeld and in real life, and then they sold Seinfeld around the world. And Larry
David made how much he made.
I think he made about $500 million from selling. Yeah, from selling Seinfeld. And Larry, the Curb Your Enthusiasm, is Larry David playing himself, the co-creator of Seinfeld, who's now rich beyond rich, does a bit of writing here and there. And
what I love is he is rich beyond rich,
but
he loves working still.
Yes.
He loves making that show.
Yeah, yeah, yes.
And somebody said, you told me earlier that somebody said, when somebody said, how's your life changed? And somebody he knows says, Larry has not changed one single thing about his life.
Yeah,
despite the money. He drives the same car, yeah, yeah. He has the same house,
yeah.
He wears the same clothes, yeah, nothing's changed. And I thought we were saying, like, that's quite a refreshing...
Yeah, yes, it really is, isn't it? Because I guess the idea that having an enormous amount of money would turn you into somebody else, it was like, nope, he's just a grumpy, miserable, middle-aged man, you know. Very good. Anyway, I'm really, really enjoying that. And every Monday is a treat because Succession drops on a Monday and Curb drops on a Monday.
Can we talk about Succession quickly?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, yeah.
Because you're watching, I'm struggling.
Mm.
And we never recommend something if we don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
But you've recommended it.
Yes.
And you are enjoying it. But I can't get on board, and I don't know what's wrong with me.
It is interesting that, because a lot of people have recommended Schitt's Creek to us. Now, I've done season one of Schitt's Creek recently.
But I haven't started.
I just can't buy into it, really.
No.
There's something about the characters that I just don't really care particularly whether they are fallen on hard times or not. There's something about them that I can't buy into. Whereas with Arrested Development, which is the same kind of premise, really, which is Jason Bateman.
Chester's watching that now.
Oh, that's really, really good.
Chester's
because
obsessed.
You've got this character in there, which is played by Jason Bateman, who's trying really hard to do the right thing all the time. You know, he's not moaning about anything. He's getting on with life. He's raising his son.
And it was several years ago, Arrested Development. Yeah. And look at where all the stars from that show have gone.
Oh, massive.
I mean, they're all huge.
Yeah. I'm Lego Batman.
Yeah.
I can't remember his name. Will Arnett.
Yes.
God, he's brilliant. Schitt's Creek, I had a proper stab at, but I just couldn't really get into it. Maybe you're just suffering with that with Succession.
Mm.
I'm enjoying Succession more now than I did season one and season two.
Wow.
I think season three is just funnier, really. I'm more interested in what's going on than I was before. So that drops on a Monday as well. So
I'm just really excited to tell you about this.
Yes,
because my ex-husband and I, we shared two big movie releases. So I took Chester to go and see Bond.
Yep.
And he took Chester to see Dune.
Yep.
And, you know, selfishly, I think both of us wanted to take Chester to both of them. But I did finally get to see Dune this weekend because Holly was down from university and she wanted to go and see it. And in fact, Chester wanted to go and see it again. And it did not disappoint.
Yeah, great.
I mean, I was the biggest fan of June. The June that came out, I think, in 19... Let me just double-check when it came out. 84. The original June was with Virginia Madsen, Kyle MacLachlan, Francesca Annis, who played Lady Jessica, the...
yes.
The Jenny... Benny Gesserit witch.
and say that.
Just like the most unbelievable cast, but it only got a 6.4. Now, June with Timothy Chalamet got a 8.2.
Ooh, that's more
which
like
is
it.
Really, really good. Now, if you think about it, for the first film in a trilogy, and you're not going to see the next one until 2023.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
a very high score because it's incredibly annoying watching a first movie and not being able to go and watch the second movie straight away. You have to really kind of commit to it and think to yourself, okay, I'm happy to wait.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's no ending, is there, really, for the first movie?
There's no ending, but I know the ending because this is a series of books by Frank Herbert. Frank Herbert actually wrote Dune.
Okay.
And he died in 1986, and he was aged 65. And so it came out in 1984, the original one with Kyle MacLachlan.
Yeah, yeah.
And he died 2 days later.
Wow.
And the Dune saga is basically set in sort of the distant future, taking place over a very long period of time, and... really kind of talks about the survival of the human species and there's battles over who's going to get the thing that is going to help the species survive and planetary science, and there's a bit about ecology, and I love science fiction.
Yes, I mean, I like science fiction.
And I had been so obsessed, I could literally... it was in the time of videos. You remember when we used to watch a video again and again and again and we used to learn all the words to it? So... I knew every single word to Dune.
Did you?
And there are some really weird things in it, like, you know, I am Shadat Mapes.
Okay.
And Moadib, your name is a killing name. All of this kind of stuff.
Okay.
And the weirding way. I mean, I just knew all of it, and I kept leaning over to Chester going, the Kwisatz Haderach. He's like, shut up. Because I was so excited.
Were these phrases in this new film?
Yes.
Oh, they were.
So I was all worried that it was not going to be the same. It was going to be so different. I wasn't going to like it. I preferred it.
Okay.
But I have to talk about Timothy Chalamet. Do you know much about him?
I mean, I know who he is, and
I've seen him in films. Call Me by My Name. Timothy Chalamet is the most arresting young actor I have seen in years. His performance in this film is nothing short of completely extraordinary. He is such... Every time he looked at the camera and every time the camera stopped on him, I just was like sharp intake of breath. And this isn't because I fancy him.
Yeah, yeah.
There's no party in my pants. It is literally just because his face is made for the big screen.
Oh, wow.
And there aren't many people that you can really say that about. In 2017, he became the youngest winner of the Best Actor Prize for NYFCC's ceremony for Call Me By Your Name.
Yeah, great film.
And he is very young, very, very talented. He was half French, half American, and his dad named him Timothée. That is his name, T-I-M-O-T-H-E-E. So in French, you would call him Timothy. And obviously, Chalamet is a French name, but he's happy to be called Timothy. It's quite funny seeing him trying to explain to all the chat show hosts about his name. He gets quite annoyed.
Okay.
Well, he doesn't get annoyed at all.
No, no, okay.
He's very, very good about it and says, you can call me whatever you like.
Yeah.
But he can also speak completely fluent French with no hint of an accent. So he can flip. He's totally bilingual. Right. Between French and English. His mother, who's from New York, is Jewish and of Russian Jewish and Austrian Jewish descent. So he is Jewish because obviously on the maternal line. But he is absolutely phenomenal in it. Do you know Rebecca Ferguson?
Yes, how do I know her?
So she also, what's quite interesting is she's British, of Scottish and Northern Irish descent, mm-hmm. so she can also speak, she speaks fluent Swedish,
yeah.
but can flip into complete English with not even a hint of accent.
Yeah, wow.
She's also extremely beautiful.
Click on Rebecca Ferguson. Let me see what else she's been in.
Biography. The Greatest Showman.
Mission Impossible. Yeah, okay. Two Mission Impossible films. I know exactly who you mean. Yep.
She's again, yep. very, very, very
Source
beautiful.
Code as well.
Yep. Zendaya.
Okay.
Is in it, but she's only a little bit in it. Her okay. big part comes in the next part.
Very
and
good.
And also Oscar Isaac.
Oh, yes.
Star
I like
Wars.
Him. Yep.
He's amazing. Jason Momoa.
Yeah, he's too long.
But he's so good in it. Look at the cast. Stellan Skarsgård.
Yeah, yeah, I love him.
Absolutely fantastic. Josh Brolin.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Javier Bardem.
Yeah.
It just goes on and on.
That's a good picture of Javier Bardem.
The cast of this movie yeah. is unbelievable. It's slow.
Yes.
It's quite slow moving.
Mm-hmm.
But the scenery and the setting and the special effects
Great.
Are brilliant. And I can't recommend it high enough. But you've just got to go and see it just for Timothy
yes.
Chalamet.
Yes, okay. Well, I haven't seen it. I don't...
I'd come and see it again.
I don't remember
that
the first
obsessed.
One. I did see the first one, but I don't remember enjoying it
okay,
or liking it.
Okay, that's not good. Okay.
But it came out at a time where there was lots of other films around, I think.
Bear in mind...
I was very young as well when it came out.
And that got... Okay.
I'm quite a bit younger than you.
That got so. 6.2, the other one.
Yes.
This got 8.2. So I think we're talking different ball game.
And the original came out in 1984? 84. So I would have been 11. Yeah, okay.
Oh, God.
No, I'm just thinking about other things that I would have been watching around that time, which would have been things like Star Wars and stuff like that, I guess. Indiana Jones or all that jazz.
But you do like sci-fi.
I love science fiction, yeah.
You
yeah,
will
absolutely.
Love this film.
Okay,
we've got to go and see it.
On the subject of sci-fi,
yes.
I found an Instagram account.
Yes.
That blew my mind.
Oh, yeah,
yeah.
Great.
Okay. So I can't remember where I stumbled across it. You know, like you just get recommended things in the search stuff and all the rest of it.
Mm.
And this thing came up and it was a picture of a planet, like
yeah.
an outer space solar system type thing with a planet in it.
Yeah.
And the colours and everything just like made me think, wow, look at that, right?
Yeah.
So,
oh, wow.
So that's
yeah.
a photograph of the moon.
Yeah.
As
of
it's,
the moon?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So it's a photograph of the moon as it's just about to take on the shadow of the Earth. So here's the moon moving into the shadow of the Earth. The Instagram page is called Astro Falls, and he mm-hmm. is, this guy, a specialist photographer of planets.
Oh, wow.
Full-time space photographer exploring the cosmos from Earth. But
look how many followers he's got.
These pictures are just
Australia.
Fantastic.
That's, my God, is that the sun?
That's the sun.
Wow.
I mean,
flares.
That's
look at that.
Yeah, that's the moon. Look at
that.
Do
you know what? You know we've recommended that sky at night light?
Yes.
That's what it sort
yes,
of projects
like,
onto the ceiling.
Yeah.
A nebula. That's a nebula. I thought that only actually happened in...
Look at that.
Saturn.
That is Saturn. Saturn
wow.
is 900 million miles away, and he's taken a photo of it.
Where you can see all the rings and
it's amazing.
Everything.
And look at this one. That's the moons
that
around
real.
Saturn. It doesn't look real at all, does it? So I have had a wonderful time exploring
wow,
this page.
That,
it's absolutely
this is definitely
great.
Worth
yeah, look at that.
Looking at.
One more day until my deep sky prints are available. So he sells some of these prints you can get.
Wow.
They're just fantastic. If you were interested in getting me a present at some point, I would really like a proper picture of the solar system. Like one of these, basically. Look at that.
No, I mean, but it...
We'll stick
it
all
looks,
this...
It looks fake.
It looks totally fake, doesn't it?
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it looks
yeah.
like it shouldn't really...
It's just utterly brilliant. So we'll post some of these. Olivia can post some of these on the Instagram page. But, God,
I don't
know how he manages to get
oh
such
my
incredible
God, they're
images.
Amazing.
They really are, aren't they?
I
yeah.
mean, it freaks
yeah.
me out when I see stuff like this
because
I just think about the world outside of the world and
well, you know,
slightly
of course,
blows my brain.
You're familiar with Carl Sagan's Pale Blue Dot, which
mm-hmm.
has to be one of my favourite kind of... I don't even know what it is. You could potentially call it a poem, but remember it opens up Men, Women and Children. Emma Thompson talks it through, but It's the idea that you're a speck of dust suspended in a sunbeam. Mm. And you can only see that when you get so far away, but we'll never get that far away as people, but you can see that far away. And I think that somehow puts life maybe into perspective in a nice way for some people. I don't know, but it's called Astro Falls. And he looks like he's called, I think he's called Ben Falls.
Why he's called Astro Falls?
Yeah, Astro like Falls. That? Oh, no, Bray is called. It's quite a cool name, isn't it? And he looks quite like a young lad. Yeah. Which is great, isn't it? You know, you think, oh my God, young people, you know what? The stuff they can get up to is just fantastic. But look as you scroll through the grid. It's just brilliant, isn't it? It's really so good.
Worth looking at. And also, I've got to say that I'm not, you know, blown away generally by that kind of stuff. And that really is extraordinary.
It's fantastic, isn't it?
It's really nice. And like you said, it's very nice to see somebody that's young, that's so passionate about something. Mm. Oh my God, what's really funny is Francis Bourgeois. I can't stop watching.
Have you seen him with Thierry Henry on the tube? Oh my God, there's one of him on an underground train with Thierry Henry.
Why?
And I don't really know, but they've met. And he gives Thierry Henry a whistle, a train whistle that he got from a station yard the day before. Thierry Henry blows the whistle and there's a little bit of banter. And it's just such a nice exchange. And somebody had put in the comments, wow. It said something like, wow, what a total, utter legend. And that other guy can kick a football as well.
Oh,
it was like,
I have watched him crying, isn't it?
Yeah.
Saying goodbye.
To a train.
To a train.
Yeah.
So many times, and the music that he's put to it and everything, and he sort of cuts to this horrific shot of his face from the head cam that's so terrible.
Yeah.
And he could really milk that.
Yes.
And he doesn't, because he puts that terrible shot of him, and it's so beautiful.
I totally agree.
And here comes Gordon with his 34 tones. Anyway, what I was going to say about him is that... my kids know about him. Like everybody follows him. I thought I'd be telling my kids something amazing. No.
Yes, they're all on it already.
They're all on it already. He must have been on Lad Bible or something.
Yes, he was on Lad Bible about 2 weeks ago with the Dick My Butt one. I don't know if you've seen
Dick
that
My Butt,
one.
Yeah.
The train.
Yeah.
But let me just, because I noticed your Holly had liked the Thierry Henry one. Yeah, here it is.
Okay, hold on.
Last weekend I went to Selhurst train depot, and it's the biggest train depot in the UK, and they gave me a present, and for me what I like to do is I like to pass kindness on, and I'd like to give you a train whistle.
My gosh, I think you should give one to the ref in the Prem. Sometimes they don't blow it that well.
Thank you. Love it.
Oh.
I'll use it.
Oh, I love this. Oh my God.
It's just so nice.
Do you know what was interesting?
Yeah.
Somebody the other day said to me, he must be faking it. I said, you can't fake that.
I don't think so either.
You can't fake it.
No.
He is just a man who loves trains and it gives him great pleasure.
Joy. But that idea, I just want to share it or want to spread it around a bit. It's very Chris Martin.
It's so sweet.
Yeah.
I thought we were going to get through one podcast without
a mention. Yeah, sorry.
No, it's too late. It's happened.
Yeah, yeah.
Can I talk to you about a TV series that I happened upon? It happened because I saw an advert, a trailer on Netflix. This is a very dangerous strategy.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, I quite like that. And I literally binge watched it.
Yes, you did.
In 3 days.
Yeah, I called you a lot. You didn't answer. FaceTimed a lot. Didn't answer. Marco Polo didn't answer.
Yeah.
I was like, what is she doing?
So it's called Clickbait. Mm-hmm. It's a TV miniseries. There are 8 episodes. It's got 7.2 on IMDb. It stars Betty Gabriel, I think you would know. Mm-hmm. Adrienne Grenier. Do you recognise this woman?
Yes,
here?
I do. Yeah.
And do you recognise him, Adrian?
I do, yeah, because he was the lead in Entourage.
Oh, of course he was.
I loved Entourage.
And the lead man, this guy, Phoenix Ray, he's an Australian actor, writer and director, and he was born in Shiraz and then emigrated to Perth. I had no idea he was Australian. But anyway, he was cast as the lead in the film and he was really, really good in it. But what I do love, this girl who played Pia Brewer, mm-hmm. the sister of the kind of Nick Brewer character.
Yeah.
She is brilliant and she's not archetypally mm-hmm. a lead female. She's kind of quite quirky, quite different looking, quite indie.
Mm-hmm.
Would that be a good kind of way?
I think so, yeah.
Anyway, the premise is, and this is what I saw that was so interesting, guy is all bloodied, he's on screen, he's holding a sign, he says, I abuse women, I murdered a woman,
mm-hmm.
at 5 million views I die. And he looks like he's been hit around the face.
Yeah.
And I was like, what does that mean? Anyway, turns out he's married, he's got two kids, he seems like a super upright guy.
Yeah.
His sister and he are very, very close. And she is a naughty, naughty girl, but he lives this perfect life. Mm-hmm. So what is that about? And what happens is all the kids at the high school see it, they share it, they tell everybody.
Okay, yeah.
And then it's called clickbait because yes. suddenly it becomes clickbait. Yeah. And then it's like, how do we stop it? Where is he?
Mm-hmm.
Who's got him? We've got to comb through his whole life and find out.
But the more people that watch it, the more likely he is to get it.
Yeah.
Right.
Wow. Great and premise. I'm not going to tell you yeah, more about
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
But it was mm-hmm. so good because right up until the last episode,
mm-hmm.
and I absolutely thought I knew who it was, I didn't know who it was.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
I had no idea. And when it happened, I was like, and it made complete sense.
Okay.
It wasn't like a totally random, why on earth would they choose that?
Where's it on?
It's on Netflix.
I've seen the name
on,
come up,
actually, yeah,
in my recommendations.
Yeah, it's on right now.
Yeah.
You can also watch it on Prime Video,
mm-hmm.
But you will really enjoy it. Let me just see if there's got any... It's got lots of very good reviews, and there isn't any little gossip or anything from there.
Well, I'll give you a bit of gossip.
The
lead actor, what's his name? The guy was in Entourage.
Oh, he played Nick Brewer, sorry.
Yeah, that's all right.
His name, Adrian Grenier.
Adrian Grenier.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So he was great, but he was in a lot of indie horror films before he got the part in Entourage.
Oh, yeah.
And there was this great interview with him where... I don't know if anyone's seen Entourage or not, but Entourage is based on the life of Mark Wahlberg. So he's a Boston kid from a rough background, working class lad, got into a lot of trouble, but found himself in LA as a movie star and decides to take all his friends from Boston with him and say, well, you can be my cook, you can be my chauffeur, you can be my manager, you can be my PR guy. All his friends just work for him. They all lived in a massive mansion in LA, and they live the best life you can imagine. But because he worked in all these kind of indie horror films and all the rest of it, he didn't know how to act happy. And the director had to keep taking to one side and said, dude, you're a movie star. You're Mark Wahlberg. Like, cheer up. And it's like, right, oh yeah, okay, you know. And it was in this interview, I thought it really interesting, but he said, it's actually for an actor very hard to be happy. It's so much easier to be dramatic or to be sad or to be angry. Like, they're all things that you can express quite easily with your face. But happy just looks cheesy all the time, you know. So he said, it was a really, really difficult thing to not have anything to moan about or complain about.
Yes.
As the character. Because it
God,
gives
that's
you so...
That's so weird.
The landscape's no texture to it, you know. You're just happy all the time. You've nothing to challenge you.
Do you think Entourage was really a man's
without a shadow of that? I don't think you could have made Entourage now after the whole Me Too thing and Harvey Weinstein and all that stuff, because it is just full of jokes. It absolutely is. Yeah, I mean, there are endless trips to the Playboy mansions. They're just, you know, the way they objectify women in there and everything. I mean, it's all designed to make you laugh and make you be entertained, but. It is extreme,
terrible.
Yeah. Mm. There's a guy in there called Johnny Drama who just sleeps with prostitutes all the time. And I just remember it was a hilarious show. I absolutely loved it. And I mourned it for about 6 months when it ended.
Really?
Yeah, because I felt these people were my friends. You know, like I
was
so engrossed in it.
Do you think
so
it's on still anywhere?
No, but they did a movie. So there's about 7 or 8 seasons of Entourage. Then it stopped and then they made a movie. The movie
was
just,
the movie any good?
Not really. It kind of lost its thing. I tell you who was the star of it, though, was Jeremy Piven.
Oh, yes. And he's amazing.
He played a character called Ari Gold. Now, I don't know if you know, there's Patty and Bun next door to the flat here.
Yes.
And there's the Ari Gold burger you can get from there, which is named after...
Which Andy
Ari Gold. Yes, my vegetarian friend ate, thinking it was a veggie burger, and it wasn't.
Yeah. You can see all 8 seasons on Apple TV.
Okay. I mean, it's worth giving it a shot.
You can also...
It's very male-heavy.
Stream on Sky Now, Virgin Go, and you can buy it on Amazon, Apple TV, Chili TV, Rakuten, and Sky Store. This app...
It's great, isn't it?
This Just Watch app is really good. Just saying that again.
I am afraid to watch Entourage again.
Because
it was so... No, because I was so sad when it ended.
Oh, it'd be like sad all over again.
I just couldn't put myself through it. That's how big an impact it had on me when it ended. I was devastated. Okay, so I've got a couple of little things that I'd quite like to talk about. So I bought your son a Christmas present this week. He doesn't listen to this podcast, so I'm not worried about talking about it.
I sincerely doubt it.
Yes, I doubt it too. But we're running up to Christmas. I can imagine there's lots of people thinking, what am I going to get for people? What am I getting for my son? What might I get for my husband? What might I get for my wife or my girlfriend or anything like that? So I'm going to start dropping things in that I'm buying for people to help people with their ideas.
Yes.
So your son's 15.
Yeah.
I've got a son who's 17 and 18. Mm. Now, years ago for Father's Day, I got bought a Leatherman, one of these Leatherman multi-tools.
They are like a man thing. Every man's got to have one.
Every man's got to have a Leatherman at some point. So I got one called the Leatherman Wave. It's £117 and I had it engraved. It was from Father's Day and it said, you know, to the best dad in the world or something like that. I use that Leatherman at least 3 times a week, every week, ever since I got it 8
really?
Or 9 years ago.
What
all
would you
the
say
time.
Is the thing on it that you use the most?
Probably the screwdriver, the Phillips head screwdriver, because, you know, there's always things where you need to put batteries in something or you need a little screwdriver. So there's that. There's a tiny little flathead screwdriver in there. There's 2 knives, a saw, a file, pliers, a little measuring thing. You can open it out and it's like a ruler. It's got loads of stuff in there. You can spend a lot of money on Leathermans, but this one I think is a good catch-all. Mm. And there's loads of other little things in there. There's a bottle opener in there and a can opener and all the classic Swiss Army stuff. But it's really good and you can get them engraved. So your son's got one. But my boys have both got one with an engraving on. I bought it from the multi-tool.
That's so lovely that you included Chester. Thank you.
Oh, God, to be daft. It's from the multi-tool store, so it arrived within 2 days of ordering it.
Oh, wow.
But I'm just slightly worried. I know things are going to sell out very quick this Christmas because there's a shortage of materials all over the world for all sorts of different things. So I think if you've got kids over the age of 15, this is a great little gadget for them. The knives are extremely sharp, so obviously be careful. But what a great kind of tool it is. It's really kind of manly, I think, and for a boy in his kind of mid to late teens, it's a really useful thing. And like I say, opening boxes and packages and cutting things open and all sorts of stuff, it's an endless use for it. So it's been a great thing, but it's the Leatherman Wave, £117. You can up it and get a slightly better pouch for it, like a leather pouch if you want to pay £150 for it or something like that.
I know this is going to sound slightly ridiculous.
Go on.
But Amanda Holden was really sweet the other day because she heard about my foot.
Yes.
And she sent me a picture of a thing that she used when she broke her foot.
I can see it.
It's a scooter.
It's a mobility scooter.
You don't sit on that.
Do you not?
You kneel on it.
Oh, really?
So you hold on to the handles, you put your leg bent on that, and you scoot along. So when you break your leg...
Yeah.
Now
she broke her leg, right? That's why she had this.
Well, what happened was she did what I did.
Yeah.
And she then, a year later, because her leg was so compromised, she had to be very, very careful with it. Mm-hmm. And then she actually did break her ankle a year later. And you did a very similar thing, right?
I did. I did exactly what you did. And about 3 months later, I broke my ankle.
So I do think I've got to be quite careful.
You do.
But if you know anybody that's ever hurt themselves, you could... I mean, I'm not going to post this online. Well, she might not mind me doing it, but look.
Oh, wow.
See, it doesn't look so stupid there.
I mean, it looks funny.
It looks quite funny, but it's bloody helpful.
It's very helpful if you've got to get around.
If you've broken your leg or your ankle or your knee and you can't get around, but you have to, like she had to, she's got to work. She can't stop working just because she's got a broken ankle.
Yeah.
She got this mobility doobie, what's it? And
oh
off she
God,
goes.
It's so funny. The fact that she's got kind of biker clothes on as well in that picture is like she's a Hell's Angel on a kind of semi-mobility scooter.
Oh
my God, you've got to Google this, folks.
I have so much respect for Amanda. Can I just say something?
Yes.
I work with Amanda on JD Williams.
Yes.
And like you said today, we are an unlikely pairing.
Yes.
But we get on.
Like a house on fire.
Like a house on fire.
Well, it's quite funny because me and her husband got on like a house on fire as well. We all need to go
really,
out for dinner.
I really, really like her a lot. She is brilliant. Yeah. She's very, very funny.
Okay, so...
Can we quickly just do something?
Yeah.
I quickly just want to tell everybody that we have got something really exciting coming up.
Yes.
In December.
Yeah. Do you want to tell them what that is?
We are going to be doing giveaways.
Yeah.
So all the companies that we have recommended, Olivia's got in touch with lots of them.
Yeah.
And lots of them have been really, really generous and given us some amazing goodies to give away to you this Christmas.
Yeah.
So we will tell you what to do.
Yeah.
And
we'll have to work that out,
we know what we're doing.
Yeah. Okay. Yes.
We're going to tell you our fantastic plan.
Yes.
Next week.
And we've worked it out.
Yeah. About how we are going to give away these because it's got to be done fairly.
Yes.
But we've got some really, really exciting stuff to give away and we'll be doing lots of promoting for that.
Yes, and it'll be great in the run-up to Christmas.
Yeah.
And like Davina said, I mean, some of the companies that we've recommended, but there's some really major ones that have come in and said, yeah, great, let's do a giveaway. So we hope you're going to love all that. Alice Hope 71.
Mm-hmm.
So sorry you've been in the wars, Davina. I hope your foot is feeling better soon. In the meantime, I wanted to tell you about a lovely film that I watched last week. It's called The Starling, and it stars Melissa McCarthy and Chris O'Dowd.
Really?
Don't watch if you're feeling emotional. Oh. It's sad, but also funny and lovely.
Oh,
it's
on, sounds like my favourite type of...
it absolutely does, doesn't it? Thanks, Alice. So that's The Starling. I love Melissa McCarthy and Chris O'Dowd. He's married to Dawn O'Porter, right?
Love her.
Ah, great.
Well, love them as a couple as
well. Yes, me too.
They seem really good.
Me too. Roy Castle, lung cancer...
Mm-hmm.
The Instagram account got in touch with us because we obviously talked a bit about Roy Castle. We talked about Ben Castle. They've got an Instagram page called Roy Castle Lung Cancer and they've shared this with us. Hi guys, here is our launch video for Lung Cancer Awareness Month, if possible, if you'd be able to share with your followers. Best wishes. So that's
very
nice, isn't it?
We will post that.
Yeah, so that's absolutely repost that.
And we must post that on the main page so it stays up there.
Yeah, yeah.
Because my sister had lung cancer and was asymptomatic with it. She had what she thought was just still a smoker's cough because she'd smoked for all of her life.
Mm-hmm.
And so she didn't really get anything done about it. But I think if maybe there'd been more awareness around, she might have got checked a bit earlier, but it was too late by the time she found out she had it. So it is really a good thing to post. Let's do that.
So it's the Instagram page is Roy Castle Lung Cancer, and it's the UK's only charity dedicated to helping anyone affected by lung cancer. So go along and follow them, and we will we'll absolutely post that on the page. Amy Barron. What I like to do is choose names that I don't remember choosing before. Yeah.
Oh.
But that.
My God.
That is not to say that we wouldn't read out people that we regularly see. But I'm on the hunt. This is from Amy Barron, who's called herself Ginge 1902. She can't have been born in 1902. Come on, Ginge. What has she got here? The Xylus we've got quite a few here. So from the 1st of November, she sent us a post of something chopping it, and it says, I mean, come on, really is the most fabulous thing. I bought one you guys recommended and can't remember what it's called with the pull cord thing. It's the Xylus pull cord chopper. But this is awesome too. So what's that then? Oh, I've seen those. Yes, that's
at the
good.
I've got to say, the Xylus is less stress.
Less stress, okay.
Because the Xylus, it doesn't slice things like cucumbers and things like that. Mm. We should recommend that very quickly.
What, that thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, it does look good, doesn't it? It's called the Convenient Style Kitchen Tool Finger Guard and Finger Protector. Avoid hurting when slicing and dicing. A great Christmas gift. I would say that.
Can
that
I just say,
right.
Yeah. How many views has it had?
Nearly 500,000. What?
Well, I mean, Jesus, if you can post something online that people connect with, I mean, 500,000 views.
Yeah.
Shut up, that's so many.
Thanks very much indeed, Amy. That's great. And let's have a look at James Clifford.
Oh God.
I
just want to say I'm 10 days sugar-free. Thank you.
And James has sent a post of a Caramac on the podcast. Oh, this is our post of the Caramac. And he has said, this is amazing, inside a banana wrapped in foil.
Yes! Yes, James!
Okay,
so,
James.
So, you know that thing when you get a banana and you put it in some tin foil?
Mm.
And what I used to do is I used to cut a slit in the skin of the banana and I'd dribble some honey on it.
Oh, I see.
And then wrap it up in foil and put it on the barbecue. But James has just said, no, you take the banana out of the skin, you put the Caramac in with the nude banana,
mm-hmm.
wrap it in foil, put it on the barbecue.
Yeah.
Amazing. So that is basically a banana gold bar.
Yeah. It's a kind of banoffee pie almost.
It's
a banoffee banana.
And then once you take it out of the oven,
mm-hmm.
you sprinkle some digested biscuits on it and a ton of whipped cream.
Yeah. Okay. What are you going to call that? The Caramac finger?
Heart attack.
Okay. Very good. I used to do it with a flake. I used to split the banana and put a flake in it, wrap it in foil and put that in the barbie. Banana chocolate. That was good. But Caramac sounds great. Thanks, James. That sounds
really
bleeding marvellous.
Sugar.
Yes, I bet you are. Let's read one more. I'm not missing it. I love sugar. Lindsay, she's got one of those swivelets.
Oh, great!
Yes!
Oh, I'm really pleased.
On October the 28th, Lindsay said, today I had a hot meal while stuck out on the road. I think
she's
an ambulance.
She's a paramedic.
Yeah, paramedic. That's right. Hot meal while stuck out on the road. We often don't get back for lunch, so I knew when I heard you recommended the swivelet, it would be amazing for my job in the ambulance. Oh, thanks, guys. That's absolutely brilliant. She's a bit windswept. She is a bit windswept. That is a great picture of you, Lindsay.
Oh, that's such a nice picture of you, Lindsay.
Can you let us know what you cooked in it, Lindsay, what you put in it? Because I was on This Morning, and I like saying that.
So
it's
sweet.
Got a nice ring to it.
That's so
but
nice.
They were tying out food. There was a section where they were trying out food.
Yeah.
And Holly was trying to say, oh, this is a bit like a pot noodle. But obviously because of Ofcom and all the things you're not allowed to say, she obviously wasn't allowed to reference pot noodle for some weird reason. So she kept saying, it's a bit like one of those cup hot noodle things in a pot. And everyone going, oh, yeah. And then she'd say, yeah, you know, like the hot noodles you get in a cup, you know, hot noodles. And I was just thinking, just say pot noodles. We all know that's what you mean, you know. And they danced around the pot noodle thing for about 10 minutes. You know, you think, oh, how bizarre. TV's a funny old game, isn't it?
It's so ridiculous.
Oh, Stephen Merchant. Okay, this is great. Hannah. I've watched some of this. Hannah Hand Gretel. Is that the name?
No, Hannah and Gretel.
Hannah Hand. No, Hannah Hand Gretel.
Hannah is a hell... Helendrome.
What is that? Where you've got a H and a H?
Hang on. Same backwards as it is forward.
Oh, like Sonos.
Palindrome.
It's a palindrome. Hannah.
Was it a car or a cat I saw? Was it a car? Or a cat I saw.
That's the same forwards as it is backwards.
Yes.
Wow. Send them in, folks. Ooh. If you've got stuff that says the same things forwards as it does backwards, then that is impressive. So Hannah Hand Gretel, she says, thanks, guys. Just want to say thank you for the podcast. I listen every week and you two are just too cute together. Oh, nice. thank you, Mrs. Hand Gretel. I'm really going to irritated at that. I'm going to stop now. Anyway, I have a recommendation for you. It's called The Outlaws on BBC iPlayer.
Yes, I want to watch this.
I've watched the first episode. I've always liked Stephen Merchant. I've always utterly loved Stephen Merchant. I think he's brilliant, and his new show doesn't disappoint. I'm only two episodes in, but I know I love it already. Jessica Gunning is superb. Just the scene where she has Stephen in a headlock between her thighs is really bloody funny. And it's also got Christopher Walken in it. I know.
Mean, I love that. There's a great story about how they got Christopher Walken.
Oh, is there? Okay.
Stephen Merchant actually went to his house. And apparently he was a bit like, do you want some pasta? And Stephen Merchant was like, I'm fine, actually. And then he stayed for so long that eventually he went, actually, do you know what? Could I take you up on your pasta? And Christopher Walken was like, I wasn't going to do the job, but now you said yes to my pasta, I'll do it.
Oh, really?
Like, it was that kind was of that random. He's like, oh, my God.
I listened to this podcast recently with Rob Brydon talking to Stephen Merchant. It was on YouTube, so you could see them as well.
Yeah.
It was only short. But Rob Brydon is obsessed with Bruce Springsteen, and he says, you've got a Bruce Springsteen story, says Stephen Merchant. He says, I do, actually. I nearly kind of killed Bruce Springsteen, he said. And he said, really? Like, tell us more about it. And he says, well, he lived in LA for a while, and Bruce was playing in LA, and he said, I went to see him twice, and on the first night I realized that Bruce does this thing where he leans off the stage and falls back into the crowd, and he does it at the same spot each night. So he said, on the second night he went, he thought, I'm gonna catch Bruce Springsteen. So he went to that spot to catch Bruce Springsteen, you know, and obviously all the crowd are there.
Yeah.
Stephen Merchant's six
tall.
Foot nine or something.
Yeah.
So he realised.
The only one that caught
when
him.
Bruce came down on him, he realised that he caught him first and then took the whole weight of Bruce because nobody else could reach him. But then he said the counterbalance thing went up backwards and Bruce started to fall backwards, yet no one else could help him because he was so out of reach. Oh my God, it was absolutely hysterical. And somebody's taken a photo of Stephen Merchant holding Bruce Springsteen.
Shut up. That's
that
so
picture
funny.
Exists. Oh my God, I was really, really laughing because he's so kind of goofy, Stephen Merchant, but then at the same time, brilliantly
That's
kind of smart
so
and clever. But
brilliant.
Him telling the story of that was just great. Thank you, Hannah and Gretel. That's great. I've watched the first episode of that and I think it's super fab. Okay, great. We'll do more next week.
Yep.
We'll do more shout-outs next week.
Yep.
We've got more episodes obviously coming. And we'll work out what our quiz is going to be for you lot to win some goodies.
And I've got lots of food
to
talk to you about and drink. But that's all at...
Yes. I've got quite a few other little trinkets that I bought for Christmas as well.
Want you to try.
Oh, you want to try stuff?
I want you to try.
I'm going to get a case of Gary Barlow wine for Christmas.
Yeah, excuse me.
Yeah.
You really enjoyed that.
I really, really did.
I gave it to someone else the other day because you didn't finish the bottle.
Yeah.
They really liked it too.
It's a no-brainer.
It was absolutely amazing.
We're going to stock up on that stuff.
Yeah,
I think it's
really
good.
It's such good value.
Yeah, I totally agree.
And we are not being, like, this is not an advert. It's actually just a genuine recommendation.
I'm about to start working with Gary Barlow next week.
What?
I'm working with Dawn French on that show and Gary Barlow's on it.
Oh, that's so nice.
I know, it's going to be great, isn't it? You asked tonight if we could watch some TV.
Outlaw. Oh. Yeah, go on, what?
The Morning Show, season 2. I was talking to Jonathan about it tonight. He's watching it. He said it was great. And
Jonathan
I thought, God.
Ross?
No.
Oh, Jonathan.
Yeah,
Hackford.
Jonathan Hackford.
Yeah.
And I thought, God, I loved The Morning Show. We talked about it on this show loads.
Yeah, we loved it.
There's another season. It's ready to go. Well, let's watch that.
Let's do it.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Thank you.
And I dedicate this show to my gran.
Yeah, Lily.
Diamond Lil, we used
Diamond
to call her.
Lil.
Whenever I sent her a birthday card or a Christmas card, it used to say Diamond Lil, Wallace Place, Longforgan, Scotland.
The lady with flowers in her hair.
Yes,
can I
know.
Can I tell them what she said?
Yeah, of course.
Can I tell them what she said about...
Yeah, of course.
She said, I'm not very good at the Scottish accent.
You don't have to
so
be the Scottish accent.
Me.
Yeah.
She said, I was a flower person.
Yeah.
I was like, were you? She went... Oh yes, I was a flower person, and she went, and I thought she meant I used to wear flowers in my hair. And she went, I was quite promiscuous.
Yeah,
and she meant like flower power.
Yeah,
60s and 70s.
Yeah,
you know, she was a hippie, flowers in her hair and stuff. And but it was that she was. I mean, I only met her the once, but I'm so pleased that I did get a chance to meet her.
But
she was the most entertaining person. So erudite. And warm and kind and inviting, and funny and sharp as a tack, wasn't she? And she was incredibly witty.
Yeah, she
and
was
slightly
very
sarcastic.
Funny. Yeah, very.
And
very.
She knew when she was being naughty, and she rather liked it.
Oh yeah, yeah. Mm. We took her a Domino's, which is what she wanted. When we all ate Domino's the last time we saw her, which she was delighted about.
Yeah.
Anyway, thanks everybody. Lots of love.
Bye.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.